Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of a very practical series of studies entitled The Least of These. Maybe you recognize those words from Jesus, where he talked about showing the love of God to the least of these, ministering to those in need. Today, the Sabbath, a day to remember, not just to observe, but to remember a God who loves us and loves all of his creation with an everlasting, unfailing love. And I'm excited today to welcome you because one of our team, Tricia Lee, is going to lead our study. You know, we don't have guest teachers on Hope Sabbath School, do we? We just have the team. So I want to welcome the team. Good to see you all. Amen. And we're going to have a practical study today about the Sabbath, a day of freedom, a day of freedom. But first, I want to share a few emails from some of our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. From Zimbabwe, David writes, "Amen to Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
I feel blessed to hear and learn Hope Sabbath School lessons. May God bless you abundantly and forever. I became a believer, and I believe that Jesus will come again soon.
Amen.
Let's work to share the gospel while we still have time. God bless you with this wonderful work." Well, David, thanks for writing to us from Zimbabwe. We have many Hope Sabbath School members in your beautiful country. Here's a donor writing from Florida in the United States of America. Says, "We've been watching Hope Sabbath School each Friday night and we're tremendously blessed by it. I'm sending a small donation because I believe that Hope Sabbath School is an excellent means of sharing God's truth with the world."
Amen.
And thank you for that gift of $100 for Hope Sabbath School. We're all part of the miracle of God together. We appreciate it. Kofi writes from Ghana. Joshua, wave to Kofi.
Yes, that's my middle name.
Oh, that's your middle name. I heard this, when the name Kofi was mentioned. "I told God," Kofi writes, "to help me to take my Bible study seriously. And I promised him not to miss any of the studies this year. But as a student in high school, I wouldn't have time to read, or I was working at the house when back from school. I'm living with my brother and his family. We don't get to church early, and we also don't study much at home. But when I searched on YouTube, I found Hope Sabbath School."
Amen.
"Hope Sabbath School was the first channel I saw and subscribed. I download the full lesson as audio on my phone. I listen whenever I wake up in the morning. While I'm working, I've not missed a single study, and I've been blessed. I even downloaded the theme song on my phone, and I use it as my alarm tone. I've been blessed. It touches my heart every time I hear the Word of God. I wish to be a pastor someday,"
Amen.
Writes Kofi. "And I and visit Hope Sabbath School personally. May the Almighty bless you as he uses you to change lives. Amen."
Amen.
Well, you've got a good namesake there, Joshua, with Kofi in Definitely. Ghana. Thanks for writing.
It means born on a Friday.
It means born on a Friday. Yeah, okay. Right. Well, thank you for that little lesson about Ghanaian history. All right. Maddie writes to us from Oregon in the United States of America. Says, "Thank you so much for your time and talents because of Hope Sabbath School. Now I have learned not to run away from God when I sin, but run to Him."
Amen.
Remember, we had a study about that, didn't we? Run to God, not away from Him. "I look forward to every week of study with you as a community. I'm a registered nurse. And when my patients seem hopeless, I tell them about the love of Jesus."
Amen.
He's a missionary. By the way, I'm from Haiti, but I'm living in Portland, Oregon. One last note from Jethro, like Jethro without an H, Jethro in the Philippines. He says, "I accidentally put my hand up when they needed someone to teach Sabbath School. I'm not an expert." He says, "I'm not equipped. I was a little troubled. And then I remember Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you." And so he prayed and he said, "Then I found Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. They were amazed when I led the discussion." And now I'm a regular teacher. Every week I download the lesson discussion. I listen over and over again while I'm driving or doing something else in my weekly routine. My week is not complete without hearing the Word of God and singing the scripture song, Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for writing, Jethro from the Philippines. It really, we're laughing because our hearts are full of joy.
Yes.
To see that God is using you. And you know, you can download the same outline that Tricia Lee will be using for this study, Sabbath, the Day of Freedom. You can download it on our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you can use that in your Bible study group. While you're at our website, if you missed any in this series, you can watch them, but you can also download our scripture theme song, which is taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 and 16. In fact, we'd like you to help us. Let's sing it together right now.
Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Amen and amen. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Amen and amen.
You know, I like that song. And I just want my heart to be directed into the love of God, don't you?
Amen.
And Tricia Lee, I know God's going to bless as you share the Word of God with us today.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study. Thank you so much for giving a day to us. Help us as we understand more about how we can be a blessing to others on this Sabbath. And may this study, Lord, be a blessing as we read your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we have an awesome study today on the Sabbath. Ooh. And let's start off in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go right to the beginning of the Bible. And let's see if we can understand a bit more about the Sabbath, the day that the Creator blessed, and what we can learn from that. Let's start off in Genesis chapter 2 and the first three verses. And I'll ask Jason if he'd read that for us.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made.
Hmm. All right, so this is the first week of creation, and we're told that God is blessing the seventh day and making it special. I have a question. How do we know that the Sabbath day is an actual literal 24 hours, just one day? And I ask that question because there are some people who believe creation might have taken place over a longer period of time. And if that's the case, it might be a bit confusing to identify which day we're talking about. How do we know? I think Gladys?
Well, in Genesis 1, if you read through the verses, it says that it was evening and it was morning.
Okay.
And it calls it a day.
Called it a day.
You cannot say it was a longer period of time because it says that clearly it was evening and the morning.
We're going to read some more scriptures that talk about special miracles and even the commandments themselves. And we're going to learn a lot from those that help us to confirm that we are speaking about a literal 24-hour period that God has made special just for us. And so let's turn over to the book of Exodus. We're going to take a look now at the Ten Commandments. The book of Exodus chapter 20, and let's read verses 8 through 11. Joshua, would you read that for us?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it."
Amen. Amen. So right here in the heart of the Ten Commandments, we're reminded about God's creative power. We're reminded that it took 6 days to create the earth. We're reminded that we should do our work in 6 days and rest on one day. If the Sabbath was a longer period of time, it'd be really hard for us to work much longer than 6 days. Mm-hmm. Some people even believe it could have been millennia or centuries. It'd be hard to kind of model that in this commandment if we were to work for a whole millennium and then rest for a whole millennium. So we're talking about a literal 24-hour period of time. Addison?
Well, just throughout history, there's been times where people have tried to change the structure of the week. You had the French back in France who tried to change the structure of, you know, a 7-day week to a 10-day week. Mm-hmm. And it totally distorted not only man, but for the rest of creation.
Mm-hmm. Confusion. It's important not to be confused about this, not just because we want to get the day right, but because we're going to keep reading. There are special blessings that God has for us on this day that he set apart for us. Let's look now at some very special miracles that God did for his people. When he brought them out of Egypt and they were wandering through the desert, there were some very special blessings that God could have given them in different ways, but he chose to bless them and give them miracles on the Sabbath day. Let's read about these miracles and see what we can learn about what God wants us to learn from that. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 16, and let's start by reading verses 1 through 5. Alex, would you read those verses for us?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove to them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it came, and it shall come to pass, that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily."
All right. So we see the children of Israel are now in the desert. Is the desert known for being a place of having food and plenty?
No.
No. Not much grows there, and the things that do grow are probably very difficult to eat, or maybe certain animals are adapted to eating it, but right. Not for us. And so we have a crisis. They're free, but they're hungry. And you even see some of them think they might die, or they're even saying, like, this is not a good situation. They're complaining. And probably if we were in their shoes, we would too. Mm. Let's keep looking now at verses 15 through 22. Alex, would you keep reading? Let's see more about this miracle that God is providing for them.
Sure. Verse 15. "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not that what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Mm-hmm. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for 1 man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses.
All right, so God provides this miracle of bread called manna, and I believe it actually means, what is it? Mm-hmm. They didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it before. But what's interesting about the amount that was provided for them? What do we notice here in the scripture about the amount that was provided? Evelyn?
It was just enough that they needed for that day. It was their daily bread, so it couldn't be saved for the next day.
Did it last long?
No.
It says when the sun rose that it would melt when the sun got hot. And so it was just enough to supply their need, a reminder that God would take care of them through the desert. Mm-hmm. Now, let's keep reading. Now, we're told that they collect twice as much on the 6th day. And let's keep reading and find out what happens on the 7th or on Sabbath. Alex, would you continue to read verses 23 to 30 for us?
Sure. Verse 23. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which he will bake today, and seeth that he will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning. Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the 7th day, which is a Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of them people on the 7th day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the 6th day of the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the 7th day. So the people rested on the 7th day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for reading that. What special thing happened on the 7th day that we just read?
No manna.
Aiden?
There was no manna that was, God did not provide any manna that day. He gave double on Friday, and then on Sabbath there was none, giving them a lesson that they weren't to work that day.
And that he would provide. What would happen on the days, remember, when they would collect extra, what would happen to it?
It would go bad.
It would go bad. But the extra that God provided on the 6th day, did that spoil on the Sabbath?
No,
it didn't. Why do you think God wanted to perform that miracle on the 7th day?
I think, again, it was to show them that that was a day for them to rest, where they didn't have to provide for themselves, but they could trust him to provide for them.
And another reminder that this day is special. It's very different from every other day. And I'm sure if they even might have forgotten, if they were forgetting what day is the 7th day, on the 6th, when they see the extra manna out there, that would be an indication, tomorrow's the Sabbath. So God wanted to show that there was a blessing in the day. He didn't want them to go out and work. He wanted them to do what instead?
Rest.
What else do you imagine he wanted them to do?
Rely on him.
Rely on him. Yeah. Can you imagine the stories that you'd be sharing with your family every Sabbath, being able to say, wow, God is consistently providing for us. Mm-hmm. Pastor?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, when they were slaves in Egypt generation after generation, I don't imagine their taskmasters saying, oh, it's Sabbath, you have the day off. And there may have even been a question, though I think they were fairly careful in remembering that day. But certainly even some today might say, well, how do we even know which day was the day that God blessed? But here, every week is a series of miracles. Mm-hmm. Double manna on Friday, lasting over to Sabbath, no manna on Sabbath. That consistently reminds them, this is the day to rest, Sabbath, special blessing day. So, you know, if they didn't know when they started after 40 years of miracles, it was absolutely clear to them which was God's special day.
And that's a good point. We're reading through this account in Exodus, but the reality is we're told it happened every day for the entire time that they were in the wilderness. They knew which day was the 7th day, and God consistently provided for them and consistently blessed them. Let's look now in the New Testament at some additional miracles that God performed, that Jesus performed on the Sabbath day, and let's see what we can learn from them. Lisa, would you please read for us Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28? And we can certainly learn a lot about Sabbath keeping by looking at and following the example of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The book of Mark chapter 2, 23. Let me make sure I'm there as well. Okay.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened that when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath."
Amen. So there's a lot that we can learn about the Sabbath, and we're going to learn about that today. But by the time we get now here to the New Testament, there was a lot of misunderstandings about what could be done on the Sabbath, what could not be done on the Sabbath. And it actually, instead of being a blessing to those believers at the time, it was more of a burden. There were so many lists of do's and don'ts. It was so confusing and hard. You literally had to be a scholar to really memorize and understand all the different things you were allowed to do. I have a question, though. So the Pharisees, so we see the disciples and Jesus, they're hungry. And they pick some corn and they eat it. And the Pharisees are saying it's not lawful to do that. Why do we think they might have thought that? Jason.
Because back in Exodus, we read there during the story of manna, God made it clear they weren't to gather food on Sabbath. And it even said, people, don't go out of your house. And so there is some guidance in Exodus that you could take to say, don't gather food for yourself. Don't do this extra work. And so the Pharisees are now saying, well, this applies now in this context, no picking grain on Sabbath.
You need to starve all day. This is going to be a day of fasting for you. So there's a good point there, Jason, that there was some context that they could have easily said, well, you know what? Our ancestors weren't allowed to work on Sabbath or pick manna, but there was none provided, actually. Mm-hmm. But notice that Jesus says he's Lord of the Sabbath. So certainly we can learn from his example. And the bigger context here is that Jesus is meeting the needs of the disciples on the Sabbath day. Here we have some men who are hungry. And if ever there's a day to bless and to fill our physical and spiritual needs, then we're going to keep reading and find out that the Sabbath is the day to do that. Mm-hmm. And so even though there can be some confusion about what we can or cannot do, we have to remember that we can always follow Jesus' example. And that the Sabbath is intended to be a blessing for us, not a burden. Let's look at another example from Christ's life. Let's look over to Luke chapter 23. And this is actually about his death and resurrection. And let's see what we can learn about Sabbath observance from this account. We're in Luke chapter 23, verse 50. And we'll read all the way through chapter 24, verse 6. Gladys, would you read that for us?
Sure. Luke chapter 23, verses 50. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And he says, "Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to the decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment." Chapter 24. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?"
Amen. Amen. So in case we're confused by the time we get to the New Testament about which day is the Sabbath, we have another reminder here. What day, it says that he rested on the seventh day. What day was Jesus placed in the tomb according to this account?
On Friday.
It's called the preparation day. They called it preparation day. Then it says the next day he rested. Mm-hmm. And it says, what does it say about that day?
Sabbath.
It's called the Sabbath. And remember, even though this was their loved one who they cared for, they stopped their preparations. I believe they hadn't finished preparing the body or putting spices on it, but they stopped that work and were planning to come back. It says early on the first day of the week they came back. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the sequence of events, we can clearly see Friday, which would be the preparation day, followed by the Sabbath, the seventh, and then the first day. And even now, in many Christian traditions, we call it, it's called Good Friday, mm-hmm. it's called Sabbath, and then some people celebrate Resurrection Day as Sunday. And so again, we can see the days lined up and we can understand which day is that special day. But what do we think about the fact that Jesus was resting or sleeping? We're told that death is a slumber, that he was resting in the tomb on the seventh day. What do we think about that? Any thoughts?
Traditionally, I'm just remembering back because John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was with God. By him all things were made.
Yes.
And the Word became flesh.
Yes.
So that's the one Son of God who comes into humanity.
Yes.
Jesus. That just as the Son of God rested at the end of the creation week mm-hmm. on the Sabbath with a finished work of creation.
Amen.
So he's resting in the tomb. He didn't have to. Right?
Yeah.
But he rests in the tomb after finishing the work of mm-hmm. redemption. It's
Amen.
An amazing parallel.
Amen.
Could just be a coincidence, but I don't think so.
Yes, because why is it not a coincidence? What is one of the famous last quotes? Well, not last quotes. Famous quotes of Christ on the cross.
It is finished.
It is finished. Yeah. He came to accomplish a work that we could never do for ourselves.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And how fitting, Pastor, that he rested as well after accomplishing that great work of salvation for us.
Amen.
Praise God. So we have seen from Genesis and from Exodus and the commandments that the Sabbath is a reminder that God is our creator, that he deserves our worship and he deserves to be Lord of our lives. But there are some other reasons why we observe the Sabbath. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is another account of the Sabbath commandment. And there's another reason why we observe the Sabbath. I will ask Laurel to read for us Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15.
12 through 15. All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day.
Amen. 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 When we read the Ten Commandments, the account in Exodus, we're told to remember the Sabbath because God is creator. Mm-hmm. And here we're reminded to remember the Sabbath because he rescued us from slavery. He's our Redeemer.
Amen.
There's another reason why we should remember the Sabbath day. Stephanie, would you read for us Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12? Ezekiel 20, verse 12. And these are important reminders because the Sabbath is a blessing for us in spiritual ways as well as physical ways.
All right, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them.
Amen. Why is it vitally important to remember that God is our Creator, our Redeemer, and the one who sanctifies us? And sanctification, that means makes us holy, setting us apart, changing us to be more like Him. Why is it important to remember all those things about God? Yes, Jason?
Well, it's a blessing to know that God is our Creator because we cannot make ourselves. So we know there's someone higher, there's someone greater than us. Mm-hmm. And also as our Redeemer, we couldn't save ourselves. Mm-hmm. So God in His loving manner sent His only begotten Son to save us. And as sanctifying us, He separates us for a purpose. You know, that's a blessing that we can co-labor with Him and His Son in this act of love.
Amen. Amen. These are some really deep and profound thoughts and principles. How do we see all this in the Sabbath commandment? How do we see that by keeping the Sabbath holy, we remember God as Creator, as Redeemer, as our Sanctifier? How does that happen?
Well, just keep the focus on God and on our fellow human beings. You know, sometimes we just, during the week, we just go to our job. We have many things to do. But the Sabbath is like, we tuned out everything else. You just like tune with God. And then we see the needs of the fellow men as well.
Amen. You see the needs of the fellow men. Certainly, we're not in the desert right now. Most of us are living in lands in times of plenty. But even when we decide to not work on the Sabbath day, it is an indication that we're saying, God, we know You're going to provide for us, even if we don't work 6 days. Mm-hmm. And what can we do on that seventh day? It's an opportunity for us to be a blessing to others.
Yes.
6 days of the week, for the most part, many of us are working primarily for ourselves and our families.
Yes.
But on that seventh day, when we let God take care of us, it's an opportunity for us to start taking care of others as well. Now, thinking about that fourth commandment, it's interesting that of all the commandments, it's very, very detailed. Mm-hmm. Some of the others, do not kill. That's it. Right. Do not kill. Do not steal. There's not much other description. Do not do these things. But there's a lot of description and detail and even repetition throughout the Bible about the Sabbath commandment. Why do you think that is? What is it about the Sabbath commandment that there's so much detail, there's so much to it? What do we think that is? Addison?
Well, the first four commandments deal with your love for God, your relationship with God. And then the last six deal with, you know, your relationship with your neighbor, with each other. And so I think that the Sabbath encompasses both of those things.
Amen.
Your relationship with God, and then how that's going to look like as you interact with others around you.
I have never thought of it as a transition commandment, but you're absolutely right, because who all is mentioned in this commandment? It's not just you don't do this. Who all do we see mentioned in the commandment, if you recall?
Servants. Your animals.
Even animals.
Yes.
Even guests, foreigners and strangers. It's a commandment that can touch and bless all of us.
Yes.
And even it's like a healing gift to creation itself. God is so good, so good. Let's keep looking at some of the blessings that we can receive on the Sabbath day and we can see in the life and example and ministry of the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I will ask Adrian if he will read for us verses 9 through 13.
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version, Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. So we have a man with a withered hand, and the Lord intentionally goes to heal him. But there's some controversy. Lisa, what's the problem?
It's on the Sabbath.
What's the problem with that?
Well, some people would think that he's working. Being a health worker, I guess, in those times, even they had to observe Sabbath day. And so why is Jesus doing work, even though it's good works, on the Sabbath? And maybe they just misunderstood that.
We're going to come back to this point, but Jesus says it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. Eric.
There's something else. If you read further down there, it says that, you know, his question is, if what a man is there who has one sheep, and if it falls in a pit, will not help the Sabbath. You know, people will do things that, you know, they're serving, it serves them. They forget to help what the person, you know, the other person. When you're extending healing to someone, you're not serving yourself.
Amen.
And it's more for the service of the other person, so that the other person can be restored, as opposed to yourself.
Praise God. Evelyn.
Right, adding on to what he said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people at this time were very focused on, well, how can I keep Sabbath so that I'm not condemned? So that nothing bad falls upon me and God. And so Jesus comes and he's like, no, this is the right way to keep the Sabbath. This is an example for you. Sabbath is not for you. It's for those around you. It's to bring good upon others.
And if you could show mercy to an animal that falls into a pit, of course you can show mercy to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, mercy to another person. Mm-hmm. Let's keep looking at another miracle that the Lord performs on the Sabbath day. Joshua, would you read for us Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. Mark chapter 1. So we see a physical miracle, a physical healing that takes place. Mm-hmm. Let's look at another miracle that the Lord performs.
Sure. And this is Mark chapter 1.
21 through 26.
21 through 26. And the Bible says, Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Mm-hmm. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Mm-hmm. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. What kind of healing was this?
Exorcism.
It was an exorcism.
Yeah. Yes. Spiritual
so
healing.
This is, I mean, a withered hand is pretty bad. I mean, you're not able to work. You certainly may not be able to take care of yourself. But this man has a demon inside of him. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual bondage that he is in. Mm-hmm. And the Lord frees him from this on the Sabbath day. This is a spiritual healing that the Lord is performing. Gladys?
I think that it's very interesting that this man is at the synagogue.
Right. Uh-huh.
He's not in the street. He's in the synagogue.
Uh-huh.
He's possessed. He's in bondage, like you said. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's very interesting that Jesus, you know, even in that place, that you would think it would be just holy people that were observing the law, you know, this man is in bondage among them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lisa.
I was going to say the same thing. The fact that he's in a temple of worship and this man is suffering from spiritual bondage means that it affected the spiritual atmosphere of God's house. And so unless he addressed it then how could the people continue to experience God in the fullness of who he was?
True.
And you know, the prophet Isaiah had foretold that the one would come would set the captives free.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Yes. Amen.
So I like what's coming out, and certainly ties in with the whole theme of ministering to those in need. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath isn't just about us and our relationship with God. It's about letting the love of God and the blessings of God flow through us.
Praise God.
And that's what Jesus did there.
Amen.
He could have said, well, I'm going to church right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, no, the Sabbath is a time, it's a day of freedom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a time to let the love of God bless other people. And that's what
Praise
he did.
God. You know, and I love that you mentioned he's in church. He's in a synagogue, in a worship service. Mm-hmm. That's a very common way for people to worship together, is to go to a house of worship and to go through a program or a service. But Jesus did not let the service or the program stop him from being a blessing to those who were right there in front of him. Yeah. Yes. Certainly we can go out and find hungry people or people suffering in need, but sometimes the hungry people and those in need are right there with us.
Yeah. Yes.
And so what a beautiful example that on the Sabbath, in church, in the church building, that he is performing miracles, that we can still do all these things. And I just say that just because church service, sometimes we want to get through the program. There's a certain order. We have to sing the songs, we pray, we read the Bible. Do we really pause to think about who's around us that has a need?
Yes.
But what a perfect time when we're all gathered together to identify those needs and to be a blessing. Joshua.
Yes, there's a church in the city that I live in that decided that for an entire year, and I even think they went further than a year, that every Sabbath before the service, they were going to go out and serve the city, as they called it.
Amen.
And it was amazing because it was something that I hadn't seen growing up as much as I should have. Like people really going out consistently to serve the people in one way or another, not just spreading the gospel, but really helping them in their exactly, like meeting them where they are and serving their needs.
So this is good. So let's talk about that, because I know prayer is powerful and we can pray for people. What are some practical ways that we can help people and do good? What are some ways that we've seen healing happen on the Sabbath day, or that we can be a blessing to others on the Sabbath day? Are there any examples that we have?
Lisa? One thing that I used to like to do is go to the nursing home after church. It doesn't require, I mean, maybe it is a sacrifice of time as we talked about it, but, you know, the people in the nursing homes, they're helpless. A lot of them, they disconnected from family. All they really want is someone to just spend time with them.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we sing and we pray, but really just the presence of someone being with them, that means the world to them.
Amen. Aiden, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I actually, I work in a hospital and take care of people that come in with broken bones and infections and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I've had an opportunity to help serve even on Friday nights and Sabbaths as well. And at first it was something that was kind of hard for me because I thought, well, I'd rather be in church right now. Mm-hmm. And I realized that's really selfish of me to be thinking that way. But it's really an opportunity to extend the ministry of Jesus as he would have done and
praise
as he
God.
Did.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Gladys.
I go to prison ministry. It's one of my favorite Sabbaths.
Prison ministry.
Yes.
Wow.
I call it like my high Sabbath, because just going into prison, people who don't have physical freedom, but they have found freedom in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how they sing with their heart. And I love to minister in there, because sometimes they feel like that disconnect with the church outside. So coming in is just wonderful. I love that experience.
At the church that I attend, if we have members that are ill or suffering or, you know, sick or even have cancers, the Sabbath is a time when the pastor and the elders will come and lay hands on them and have a special anointing service. And it's an opportunity, because the other church members are present, we can all join in that prayer and have united prayer for that individual's healing and comfort and restoration. So I love that, Adrian. Sometimes it is easy to be selfish and say, man, I worked so hard all week. I just want to get my rest or get a nap or do whatever. I don't want to go out and look for somebody else who has problems and troubles. But those of you who have blessed others on the Sabbath, have you not been blessed as well?
Yes.
And you feel refreshed. God is so good. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. And we're going to see some very practical ways, amazing ways, that the Lord used the Sabbath in the context of blessing the livelihood of his people and even promoting social equity. How on earth can the Sabbath promote social equity? How on earth can we have lessons about agriculture and livelihood? God is amazing. There is nothing that his word does not cover. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus. And I'm going to ask Jason to read for us Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7.
My pleasure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows on its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, your male, your female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land. All is produced shall be food for you.
Amen. 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 So we have another, this is a parallel to the manna. This is a parallel to the miracle of the manna, but we're not looking at a six-day period. We're looking now at a six-year period, and we're looking at agriculture. And what is God telling them not to do on that seventh year?
To work the land. They were not supposed to sow and plant the land. They had to let it rest.
They could, for 6 years, they could do this. They could plant and harvest and fertilize and dig. And I'm not an agricultural person. I'm actually not very good at gardening. I try. Sometimes things grow and then sometimes they don't. But all the things that you need to do to have a healthy, strong crop, they could do that for 6 years. Alex?
It kind of reminds me of our seven-day week. We don't want to just prepare on Friday. We want to be preparing all six of those days for that seventh day.
Yes.
And if we're spreading it out across those 6 days, it makes the Sabbath a delight. We're not rushing around and trying to get ready for it.
True. Mm-hmm. On the seventh year, in the seventh year, they were not to do any of that. That sounds a little scary to me. I'm not a farmer, but it sounds a little scary that for a whole year, I'm not going to go out and do all those things. I'm sorry, I don't know what all those things are, but I'm not going to be digging and planting and fertilizing and making sure and pruning and making sure everything is growing. But God says, what's going to happen in that seventh year?
To rest. The land rest. Has to
well,
rest.
What will happen for them? Would the food stop?
No.
We'll have food.
Whatever the land produces.
Whatever the land would produce on its own would still be able to support their needs. Mm. Now, we know and understand from science and from other places like agricultural societies that this model actually is very good for the land. You're not over cultivating it. Like, you're able to allow the minerals to replenish in the soil. Mm-hmm. All sorts of things happen in that seventh year that are very beneficial to the for the fertility of the plants, fertile soil, and all these things. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about things I don't understand in fully depth, but I understand that this is supposed to work. Yeah. What kind of lesson do you think God was teaching them? Again, this is mostly an agricultural society. What lesson do you think you learn when you don't go out into your field and do all those things you're used to doing for 6 years?
That it's not just for people to keep the Sabbath, but it's for all living creatures, all living creation on earth to rest on that day.
It's even a reminder that God is the creator. He is the one that's making these plants grow. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're doing your part, but at the end of the day, he put life in that seed so that it could produce a crop. Eric?
And just really on that seventh year, you know, if you're not planting, it can bring anxieties to you.
Uh-huh. Like,
I'm not working, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, how am I supposed to feed myself? It brings us back to God, you know, to rely on him, to rely solely on him, because he is our creator, he is our provider. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Let's keep looking over it. Let's go to Exodus chapter 21. And the same concept of the seventh year being a special type of Sabbath, something special would happen on this seventh year that would also promote equity among the people. Alex, would you read for us Exodus 21, verse 1 through 3?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him.
Wow. If you have a servant or a slave, they are free. Now, in that context, I believe there are different ways that people could become slaves. One of them was through indebtedness. Mm-hmm. If you owed somebody money or you'd have nothing to pay, you would have to pay them with your work, with labor. And so possibly you yourself, or maybe if you had an even greater debt, your whole family might have to come into servitude to whoever you owe money to. But what is this telling us, Joshua?
What, even in the case of someone's freedom, he ties in this aspect of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, wow, when I look at this, I mean, if someone works for 6 years, and then it says in the seventh year, you shall go out free and pay nothing, that God wanted to signify liberty in that individual's life with something that we're supposed to experience liberty with every single week.
Amen. Amen. Remember, God freed them from slavery. God has freed us from spiritual slavery, from being slaves to sin. God did not want the practice of prolonged indebtedness, prolonged servitude and bondage to be like a cycle repeated among his people. If we read in other parts of Deuteronomy, being free from servitude also included the cancellation of debts.
Wow.
That would be so great. Especially those of us that have a student loan. You know, I pay for 6 years and 7 years it's gone. God was trying to give an example that we are not to follow greediness. We're not to follow the example of other nations. And just like he could provide the bread and the manna on all those days and bless on the seventh, he wanted his people to realize you don't have to be greedy and enslave each other to get ahead. You don't have to collect debts forever. But realize what it would do for the people. If every 7 years your debts are forgiven, your family's freed, you can really, there aren't haves and have-nots. There's going to be a society where people are able to live in harmony and do what bless each other. Amen. And serve each other. Amen. Jason.
Yeah, you bring up a great point there. And also, I was reminded that we say the Sabbath is a blessing to us, which is true, and to other people. But how much of a blessing it is for God, you know, to actually see these works being done, people being obedient, you know, and loving him. And I know it just does his heart great joy to see such a thing.
Wow, wow, wow. God is amazing. Amen. There is something extra special. There was called the Year of Jubilee. Amen. And this happened every 50 years. There's something special about the number 7 to the Lord. And he used so many ways to remind the people. Every 7 days, there was the spiritual Sabbath, physical Sabbath, that they would rest from their labors and bless other people. Every 7 years, the land would rest. Debts would be forgiven. Slaves set free. But now, after a 7 sets of 7, after 49 series of these 7 years, on the 50th, there would be a year of Jubilee. And the same thing would happen. Debts would be forgiven. The land would be allowed to rest. All these amazing things would happen so that the people remember that God is in control and will provide. But think about this. If every 6 years you plant and then you wait 1 year on the 7th year, whenever you get to year of Jubilee, that means there's 2 years you're not planting. You're not going to plant on the 49th year, but then you're also not going to plant on the 50th year because it's Jubilee. So now it's 2 years that you are not sowing in your fields. So if you were nervous before about not getting a crop, this is like really like testing the Lord. So I'm setting my slaves free. I'm canceling debts. I'm not sowing in the fields. And we're supposed to be happy? Let's look at God's miracle that he would perform, that he tells them he'll perform for them. Laurel, would you read for us Leviticus chapter 25, verses 20 and 22? And this is the promise that God made to them about celebrating that 49th and 50th year.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Leviticus 25, 20 to 22. But if you say, what are we going to eat on the 7th year if we do not sow or gather in our crops? Then I will so order my blessing for you in the 6th year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. Mm-hmm. When you are sowing the 8th year, you can still eat old things from the crop, eating the old until the 9th year when its crop comes in.
Praise God. What a miracle. So they would sow in the 48th year. And God would give them a triple blessing, enough to last them the 49th, the 50th, and obviously the 51st, because they weren't planting the year before. So they still have to be eating of something 3 years from 3 years prior. What a blessing. Again, God reminding them that he's the creator. He is in charge. He's a redeemer. He's a provider. And that they can focus on blessing others. As we close, how is the Sabbath a time for us to be a blessing for others?
I think it's a time for us to think about people's spiritual needs and their physical needs, and to be open to whoever God brings across our path.
Praise God. Addison, how is this out with the blessing for others?
I mean, there's so many blessings. For me personally, I love to have the ability to spend time with my friends and my family.
Amen.
It's a long week, and on the Sabbath, you can talk to them and draw closer to each other and hopefully make a difference in their life.
Praise God. Jason, how was the Sabbath a time to be a blessing for others?
For me, it's a time to worship with other people, and so praising God while also connecting with my fellow man.
Amen. Eric.
Growing up, I liked being out in the nature, and I didn't get enough of that on the Sabbath. Now that I'm grown up, that I'm able to do it myself, on the Sabbath, when it's warm, when it's nice and warm, when it's easy to go out and enjoy the outside, I feel good to, just to see the beauty that that is the creation of God outside, to enjoy the quiet and the stillness.
Praise God. God has given us every week 24 hours for us to be blessed. He will take care of all of our physical needs so that we can be free to bless others around us. Mm-hmm. And I pray that we will each enjoy all the blessings of the Sabbath, physical, spiritual, and in every other way. Thanks for studying with me.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much. And what a great reminder that the Sabbath is not just about us. Yeah. It's about letting His love flow through us. I don't know what next Sabbath has planned for you, but just be thinking, God, let it be a time that your love can flow through me, a time of freedom, not just for me. Maybe sharing the truth about a God who loves us with someone who doesn't know yet. Let's pray that can be a special experience for us each week. Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, we're reminded again the Sabbath is not just a religious obligation. It is a gift from a loving Creator and Redeemer, and a time for us to show your love to others. And I pray that we would remember that each week. May it be a time of healing and blessing and rejoicing, not only for us, but for those around us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I don't know what's happening this Sabbath for you, but like I said, think about others, not yourself. Go out, take the love of Jesus, which He pours into your heart, and be a blessing to those around you.